Well, hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here, just a small patch of Pacific blue amidst the burning background of Los Angeles. This is the Virtue Signal, and this is my friend Alfonso Rachel, friend and partner. And this is the show where we try to talk a little bit of what's underneath the surface of the politics of the day. Zo, aside from the debacle in Afghanistan, which this is somewhat related to, this morning I saw a TikTok video where an Army sergeant woman said, during martial law, you will go inside, or basically, I'm going to shoot you. And she seemed to be relishing that thought. It was a pretty, my first thought was, well, now you know why we have weapons like your weapons. Because when people in uniform start bragging about, you know, how they're going to make Americans stay inside their houses or else, you know, shoot at them, that's it gets my attention. So I started thinking about this idea of loyalty. And every time I bring up a topic, you turn it around in a way that's really interesting to get like a different perspective on things. So rather than, I mean, everybody knows what loyalty is. I guess what I wanted to talk about today is at what point, what should you be loyal to? And at what point does goodness and decency and all the rest override loyalty, if ever?
Indeed, man. And I, you know, speaking of weapons, you know, like their weapons, I do want my F-15.
I do too. And my nuclear bomb.
Yes, yes. At least.
What's the point of having an F-15 if you don't have a nuclear weapon for it?
I mean, we can start with it. And don't get me wrong. F-15 is a pretty nice plane. But at least, you know, I wouldn't mind having like a couple of ones to like scan through to see why I want that one.
I'll take a submarine. I'll take a boomer.
But yeah, I mean, that's the rub, man. It's like at this point, you know, because we want to support our military, man. We want to support, you know, our law enforcement and stuff like that. But they got to know, we have to have the confidence, or at least maybe we've been overly confident. We've been giving them a lot of support.
But both excellent points.
Right? It's like, okay, at some point it's like, hey, man, with the military and or at least in our localities or we're thinking about police. Are you guys sure that you're understanding what it is to uphold good law? You're enforcing the law. That's great. We want to support you in that. But there's that point where you got to recognize the difference between good law and bad law, not just a point of, hey, I'm just doing my job. You know, it's like, no, your job is to, you know, protect our constitutional rights, you know, our God-given rights. Not just enforce any law that, you know, the higher ups tell you to do. So that's where we are right now. And we're dealing with a legion of people, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's going to be your law enforcement or your military or people who go into office. These people don't appear out of thin air, man. They're subject to the same programming as the people. You know, they grew up in, a lot of them grew up in public schools, just like, you know, we do. Or even if they do go end up in institutions of higher learning, all this stuff is being taken over by the godless, the people who are just far leaning, you know, left. That's where they are. And we're having to be ruled by these people. So whether it's our politicians or whether it's our military or whether it's our local law enforcement, we're subject to these people who are going to be influenced and maybe distorted on what good law is to uphold.
Well, I'll tell you what upset me about this. Well, upset me is not really the word I'm looking for. Concerned me is probably better. First of all, I've always felt that the U.S. military was the last, you know, bastion of patriotism, that virtually everybody who goes into the military, it's not a question of Republican or Democrat, they're ready to put their lives on the line for what this country means. And to have somebody in uniform, basically say, if and when martial law comes, you're going to do what I tell you. Mm. And seem to be really relishing it, you know? And yeah. So there's this, obviously this wokeness is creeping into everything. I've dealt many times with it coming from the top down, but, you know, there it is. There was also an element about this particular woman, shaved head kind of thing, that reminded me an awful lot of Megan Rapinoe or whatever her name is. You know, a lot of bluster, a lot of, you know, tall talk, and then go out and get beaten by a 15-year-old boy soccer team. But it did make me think that I don't want to see, and I don't think we should see, anybody in uniform commenting on politics on social media. Either way, either side. I'm not. You give up a large number of your personal freedom when you join the military. It's one of the reasons I have such respect for them. But And freedom of speech is freedom of speech. But I don't want to see somebody saying something like that in uniform. And I personally think it should be policy. And I don't want generals lipping back to commentators either. That's not their job. That's not how it works. Civilian control of the military means civilian control of the military. It's largely a one-way street. So when generals come out and make a tweet against Tucker Carlson or start calling people out by name – I don't mean to be brutal about this, but honestly, it's like, hey, your job is to take orders. If you want to give orders, you need to get out of uniform and get into politics. So I don't have a problem with saying that, no, you can say whatever you want to on social media. No one's taking away your right to free speech. But in a uniform, that's different. And parenthetically, I just realized, this was my entire argument with Colin Kaepernick, right? Mm-hmm. It's like... Colin's got the right to take a knee, and he can take a knee on top of the Empire State Building if he wants to. But if I'm the owner of the football team and he's taking a knee in the uniform that I'm paying him for, then take your knee off of my property and get out of my clothes first.
This attitude where she's got something to prove and you are going to respect her authority as a person in uniform. This is coming out of a sense of pride and something to prove from a feminist standpoint. And this is one of the reasons why Paul said women are to be silent in the church, because once they get to going, they assume that they have this authority. This goes all, and what he's reflecting on is he's going right back to Eve. Eve was deceived and she exercised that influence over her husband who did not step up. He was right there and he allowed this serpent to push up on his woman and influence her, and he stoked her pride. And she used that authority, and before you knew it, death had dominion over mankind. And so now we've got this woman basically saying the same thing. You are going to go back into your house if we tell you to. If not, I have the dominion of death over you. So these things are playing out, and all, as I keep saying, with the information and the intelligence and the reflections that we can have over history that's been cycling over and over again, we're in a generation where we don't have an excuse to not see these things anymore.
So if the issue is a service person, because it really doesn't matter whether it's a male or female. Male generals were making these tweets, this woman sergeant is doing. It's not a question of men or women. It's a question of where does the loyalty begin and end? What should we expect of the military, and what should we expect the military not to get involved with? Is it fair to say, no, you cannot make social media comments about politics or really about anything if you're in uniform? You know, it's like the last thing I want to do is restrict people's rights. But at the same time, when you are making an announcement like this to the entire world and you're wearing the United States Army uniform, then you are, in fact, speaking for the Army. And this was never an issue as far as I could see in the past, you know. So do you think it's reasonable to say that anybody in the military, at any level, at any rank, in any branch of the service, if they start making overtly political comments in uniform, then, you know, they get a warning or then they get cashiered?
Well, man, this was already coming out. When we've got military personnel making the statement that, hey, I'm going into the military and I want you to pay for my sex change, and they're already making their statements. This, we should have saw this coming already. The floodgates are open, Bill. The floodgates are open.
Should we try to close them?
Well, closing them, that'd be like, you know, like when you get that soda, you start pouring that soda. It's going to make a big mess if you try to put the cap on while that soda's inverted. You know what I'm saying? So
you're saying kind of let the pressure out first.
Well, not only let the pressure out, but I mean, there's a lot of groundwork that has to be done. It's going to be a messy process, and it's going to be a long process. It took a long time to get here. It's going to take a long time to get out. I don't mean that as a cop out, but the thing is, these people are being emboldened to do these things because we've been teaching a culture of entitlement, stand up for what you believe in, whatever it is. You know, as long as you stand up for what you believe in, speak what's on your mind, do what you feel is right. It's all about our feelings. And it's like a manifestation of Common Core math and everything. Whatever you add up, hey, it's going to be right. And you just need to go ahead and be bold and YOLO and all that sort of stuff and just do it. So once again, I have to say, when these people are going to do these things, it's going to be based on what? It's just like you were saying earlier. You know, we have representatives who go and make these addresses for us. We have that for that. As far as the military goes, they're to follow that. But we go back in the circle of, okay, military, what policy are you following? Your job is to defend the rights expressed in our Constitution and our founding documents. But even with that, Bill, when examining the Constitution, even that has to be based on something. Sure, we can have anybody to put their hand on the Bible, whatever that means to them. It doesn't really mean anything a lot to these people. So
yeah, just because you read it doesn't mean you understand
right?
it. And I wonder how many of them read it.
Exactly.
The people that swore an oath to it, I wonder how many of them
true.
Really understand it.
So true. And some even are like, I'm not going to swear on that. And that's fine. But once that's their right to say so. But whatever office or occupation that they have in this to make an oath to defend, even with as far as the Constitution goes, by what filter are you reading that Constitution? What are you deciding that you're going to omit for your personal views or insert? Because we have people doing both. It's like they're putting things in a Constitution that stuff's not there, or they're just imagining something isn't there. And that's you know, what like I said, whether it's going to be our elected officials, our military, our police, what are they basing their service on?
Well, now we come to the real nub of the whole issue. Mm. Because in the comment section below this on Twitter, a lot of veterans said, well, you're going to have to come past me in order to do this. You know, these are guys used to be in the armed services, and they're basically saying to this person who's currently in the armed services, if you really think that this uniform entitles you to start shooting at Americans, even if martial law is declared, then we got a few things to say about that. So let's reduce this down to kind of a thought experiment, because loyalty is the issue I'm after here.
Okay.
Let's say that when I say a legal order, I'm talking about a procedurally legal order. A procedure, martial law, or as we've seen for the last 600 days now, a state of emergency is declared. So let's say that there is a legal declaration of martial law in the country issued by the President of the United States, and orders go out to troops in order to do this. First of all, deploying the army inside the United States is itself really dangerous and virtually impossible. But put all that aside. Let's get to the loyalty issue. This soldier seems to think that if she gets orders to tell Americans to stay inside their home, and if they don't, she will shoot them. You could make the case that she would be loyal to the United States and the Constitution by following those orders. That's, in fact, basically what the entire chain of command is. If she gets a direct order from the chain of command, comes all the way down, and she's told to patrol the street, and if anybody won't get inside, she can either fire a warning shot or shoot at them and get them back in. She's being loyal to her chain of command and being loyal to the presumably to the flag and so on. But where I'm trying to go with this is that all of the legitimacy that the Constitution has, that the flag has, and that the uniform has is predicated on natural law. And the Constitution's crystal clear about this, as we've said many times, the First Amendment doesn't give you the right to free speech. The First Amendment says you're born with the right to free speech and government can't take it away from you. So Even if an order comes down that is legal, that doesn't mean it's moral, and it certainly doesn't mean it's constitutional. So just wanted to get your thoughts on that. What happens to a person like a soldier like this who gets a legal order that is essentially unconstitutional, antithetical to the principles of what the United States
sure.
was founded on?
Yeah, that'd be a funny thing where the military can be mobilized to impose martial law, but we can't get military to the border to stop what's going on.
That is another story.
What a waste of resources. Okay.
Because she's cloaking herself in the flag, you see, on this video. And basically saying, anybody who resists me is a rebel and an outlaw. That's a better word.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that the things that's coming down from what these people are doing from the top down, it is all rebellious. The Constitution calls this stuff rebellion. So these people are the ones who are rebelling against the people. It's not the people rebelling against the government. But see, that's why, and I know I sound like a broken record, Bill, but that's what it gets down to trying to get down to the root of this. There has to be a foundation, and everybody's decided that they're going to make their own foundation, and you can't have a level foundation. We're just not going to get along. And the squeaky wheels are the ones who are going to get the grease as far as this goes. Natural law, you know, as I've said before, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as, well, natural law only in the sense of how the dynamics of things will work in order to perpetuate our existence. There's these going to be these laws that work in nature. But in terms of natural laws, in terms of our rights, there is no such thing. Nature doesn't acknowledge rights. That's not a concept that nature has. Nature is like, go, facilitate the life is what it's going to do. But in terms of like what's right, what's mine is yours, or what's good and what's evil.
Yeah, you're saying there's no built-in inhibition on Cain taking a rock and bashing Abel's head in. There's no biological restraint built into that.
Basically, right? So,
yeah, okay.
The reason why I'm saying this is because if people are going to be dependent on a natural law, that is going to be so arbitrary, Bill. Who can make the claim of what natural law is in terms of our rights? There's no such thing.
The founders had this pretty clear.
Nature's God.
Well, when they were talking about natural law, they were talking about things that they considered to be universal. And this is what the loyalty is supposed to be to. It's supposed to be to these concepts that are expressed politically in this document called the Constitution.
Sure.
And they believe that it's universally wrong to murder people. It's universally wrong to rape them, universally wrong to steal their stuff. Mm. You know, all of these things are embedded in virtually every country, in every culture all throughout history. This was the philosophy behind the Constitution. Mm. And so since they recognized that these things were fundamental to human existence, at least to virtuous human existence, kind of human existence you wanted to have, they constructed a government that was limited from imposing physical violence on those pre-existing laws and rights.
Now I don't want to say the theory because we've actually put it into practice, but that's the rumor, because even still with these ideas that they say, okay, these universal laws, if you will, once again, universal laws according to what? Because you had some people say that, well, this group of people over here, they don't get those rights. It's universal over here, but not for these people. We can enslave them. We can kill them if we want, because you know what? They're not really human. So people can go on ahead and be selective about what these universal laws are, which seems to put a limit on what universalism is. Or even now what we're dealing with as far as the unborn. Universal, what about their rights? They don't seem to...
So where does this come down to for you in terms of not this particular soldier, but a soldier who's given an order to fire on a group of American citizens who are peacefully protesting? Unlike many of the protests that we're seeing, they're not burning down buildings. They're not doing anything. They're out there waving flags, and they got their snake flag and all this other stuff. And somebody gives an order to disperse that crowd, and the crowd doesn't disperse. Where's the loyalty? What is the loyalty to the person who's got the gun? And when I say got the gun, I mean the person in uniform who's got the gun. National Guard, police, doesn't really matter when it get down to it.
It's going to come down to their perception of loyalty.
Right.
What that person with that gun in that moment, because Bill, these are all going to be, it can be a case of all individual basis, or maybe it's just, you know, in terms of our country versus a different country. You get this order and you're just going to carry out this order, period. In our country where you're supposed to have some discernment and say, yo, man, I can't follow that order. But
you have an obligation. You have an obligation.
Okay.
To disobey an immoral order.
Yes. Now, immoral according to what? What if this person in that moment, what are they going to find immoral? Are they going to see the people out there with their Gadsden flags and God bless America and stuff like that? So far, the influence, a lot of it, I'm not saying it's taken over completely, but there's enough to make this gamble a little bit balanced to where this person may be saying, you people are traitors to America. You're the problem of America. I'm here right now. I've got this order to shoot you. And I'm going to do my country a service. Or it may be the other, another person whose loyalty may be to the people and say, like, you guys got it right. I think my government's got it wrong. I'm going to stand down. So what, God willing, I hope that it's going to be the person who's there in that moment and say, like, these people, these are the people I'm supposed to be protecting. They have a God-given right to do what they're doing, and they're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
My higher-ups are wrong. I'm going to stand down.
That's really it. This is the nice thing about having principles, you know, actual principles that you live by, because they're not positional. They don't work one way and then you want to stop them the other way. I don't want conservatives being fired on by the military, and I don't want the military firing on liberals. I don't want the military firing on protesters. I don't want the military firing on Black Lives Matter. Mm. I'd like to see the people who are smashing windows arrested, but opening fire into a crowd of citizens is to me the defining moment where your loyalty comes down to the razor's edge. I have always believed in the fundamental decency, patriotism, and really the understanding of what America is in the vast majority of people, of servicemen and women in the United States, and the comments below that bore that out. But what is unquestionable is that at both the top end on the leadership end and to some degree on the bottom end, the definition of what we should be loyal to is changing, and the understanding of what this Constitution is and what it represents in terms of protections for the people. If it's not about protections for the people, then it's just a piece of paper. If it's not a piece of paper, if it's a principle, then it's worth dying for. And so here we find ourselves. And as I was talking about this with Zoe, I realized, you know, the thought of seeing people in our uniform firing on our citizens is so repugnant to me. But then I just got hit like a thunderbolt. It's like, well, that's pretty much exactly what happened in 1775. The American colonists saw themselves as British subjects who had grievances. And the guys in the redcoats, at least in the beginning, they were our troops. Presumably, the guys in the redcoats in the position of the American colonists at the time of the founding, these guys in the redcoats are here to protect us from Indians and all the rest of it. So when you see the people in uniform firing on the people they're supposed to protect, now you have to start making some really serious decisions. And the decisions that you're going to come to are going to be predicated on just exactly how much of an education you have about what this whole thing is all about. For Alfonso Rachel, I'm Bill Whittle. This is The Virtue Signal. We'll see you next time.